This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 282. Don't annoy the examiner.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show. Today, what happens if you get a speaking part two question and you choose to answer a completely different question? Find out today.
Hey, Lindsay, what's going on?
Hey there, Jessica. Feeling easy breezy today. I'm down at the beach feeling good. Usually I'm in my home office, which is kind of stuffy and hot. So I feel more space in my mind today. Feeling good.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. You know, that does make a difference, though. Mm-hmm. Like your surroundings. And I was thinking about that just last night. I was looking and like, cause I've talked before how I have like a whole vision wall next to my desk now, but it's not next to a window. And I really want to like change some stuff around in my apartment so I can look out the window when I'm working. I need to figure this out.
I love it. I feel like in a year, your place is going to be a vision house. Your entire apartment is going to be covered in your visions. It's like you had a board, then you had a wall, now you're gonna have a house.
I know, for real. Like if you're in my living room, and you look to the left, that's that whole wall's the vision wall, and then the right is an art wall. All of James' art is up there, and so it's cool. it's beautiful. It's so cool. Oh, just every awesome. Cool thing he brings home from school, we put up, and it's just growing and growing and growing. It's so awesome. Okay. So there was an interesting back and forth in our Facebook group this week that I wanted to talk about. Yeah. Okay. So the initial posting said, "Hi, Jessica. I have a question about speaking part two. The question is, describe your goal in life. It seems to be asking about my future goal." And yeah, of course, it's asking about a future goal because that's what goals are, right? Mm-hmm. It's something in the future. And then he says, "However, can I say I have already achieved all my goals in life and then give my reasons why I achieved them all?" Okay, Lindsay, first impression, because we didn't even talk about this before the show. Like, this is the first time you've heard this. Mm. What do you think?
Well, I just feel like the way we take our answer, we need to make sure we have evidence, you know, because one of the problems that I've had in answering speaking part two questions is I run out of time, or I go under the time, right? The 2 minutes. And if I run out of things to say, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, you need the details and the examples and the proof of how you've achieved them all. That's true. Yeah. It's true. Like, this person could, I guess, talk about a past, like, having achieved all their goals. But you know what?
Yeah. Not answering the question? Yeah.
It is, but it's sort of tangential. Mm. But you wouldn't necessarily be marked down for that. Okay. Like in the descriptors, you wouldn't necessarily be marked down for that. However, it is leaving a negative impression on the examiner for a couple reasons. Mm. I think I talked about this recently for another Facebook, thread. Anyway, in part two, for example, if you're asked to describe a movie, okay, don't describe three movies. Yeah. It says a movie. Describe a movie. Mm. Guys, again, if you follow exactly what the test is asking, that's the best way to do well. Okay. Mm. So for example, if you describe a movie for 2 minutes, you're going to tell the story. You're going to give details. You're going to describe the characters, give your opinion, how it made you feel. You're going to give so much specific information. Yeah. And that's how you get a high score. If you just say, for example, oh, well, I like this one movie. I can't remember the name. I think it was a comedy. And then there was another movie I really liked. And you're just going to give the same vocab over and over.
General. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. So, like, that's another good reason to stick to the topic. And if the question says, describe a party you want to throw, right? Yeah. That's like in the future, like some cool party you want to organize maybe this year or next year. Don't describe a party you went to last weekend.
Right.
I mean, it's connected. Mm. Yes. You're not necessarily going to be marked down, but it is going to annoy the examiner because it's not what you're asked to talk about. So that's one thing. Like, you're not going into the right detail. Yeah. You're not exactly sticking to the topic. So that way it will impact your score, but then you're also going to sort of annoy the examiner.
Yeah. And what about, here's a question. What about in terms of your grammar score? If you're asked a question about the future and you're giving answers in the past, like goals that you've accomplished in the past, will you get marked on, down on grammar because you're using the wrong grammar? No.
No. The grammar descriptors are not related to the question. Mm. They're strictly about sentence structure and error density, we could say, right?
Good to know. Yeah. That's important to know.
So the only connection to the topic is, like the fluency and coherence and the vocabulary. Okay. And then in writing, the task achievement, task response, and the cohesion and coherence. Like that's where you get, and vocabulary. That's where you get marked down for not sticking to the topic. So, I mean, like in speaking, for example, if I have a native speaker in front of me and the person, maybe they misheard the question and they start talking about something totally unrelated. Yeah. They could still get a high score for pronunciation and grammar, but then they might get marked down for fluency and coherence and vocab. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So is that kind of our answer for the student today? That's where we could get marked down? Because essentially he's talking about answering a different question. Like, what goals have you accomplished in the past? But that's not the question, right?
Right. Exactly. And you know what? And I know this student, and I know that this student is, I think, like in their early 20s. So my initial reaction here, well, I was taken aback to put it nicely. Because I'm like, there is no way that you have achieved all of your goals in life. Yeah. And there was actually another student that posted. Maybe I shouldn't read it because it's kind of harsh. But this person is like, that's awful. Like, you cannot have achieved all of your goals in life already. Yeah. Like, you have to have hopes for the future.
Oh, my gosh.
You simply have to.
Otherwise, it's like you're ending. You're just digging your grave, kind of. You're just sliding right into the grave.
Exactly. So, I mean, my reaction wasn't connected to the descriptors. My reaction was from the human standpoint, and examiners are human, and they will have human reactions. So, even though it's not directly connected to the descriptors, guys, you still don't want to annoy the examiner.
Oh, that's really interesting. Maybe that's the title of today's episode. That's kind of a really interesting point. We've touched on this a few times that, even though this is not in the descriptors, there are certain things we might do that will annoy the examiner, and that could influence our score in one way or another, because there's always a moment when the examiner decides to push your score slightly up because of something or slightly down, and you're talking to a human. It's not like the TOEFL where you're talking to a computer.
Exactly.
Right? It's not possible to get your IELTS target score without a daily study plan. So to get our daily study plan that's already worked for tons of IELTS students in the Three Keys IELTS Success System, go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I picture it. Like the examiner, like it just in the examiner's head, there's this rubric, right? And it goes from 1 to 9. And the marker always hovers at a 6, always. As soon as you start talking, it starts hovering lower or hovering higher, right? And everything you do on the exam, whether it's vocab, pronunciation, even ideas, making a joke, smiling, making the examiner laugh, making the examiner feel uncomfortable, crying, all of these things happen on the speaking exam. And you know what? Everything affects that little marker in the examiner's head. It's either moving up or moving down at all times, right?
So,
control what you can, right?
Control what you can. And that reminds me of, I've seen a few times from our students who have taken the test and have taken our course, making comments like they were able to have a good time in the speaking test because they knew exactly how to kind of push the examiner's buttons in a good way. They knew exactly how to act in front of the examiner. They had built a rapport with the examiner to some extent. I've seen that a few times from our students. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was something that came up this morning in the Facebook group, huh? Mm-hmm. Really high scores from this person as well. And this person was saying how she enjoyed herself on the speaking exam and the examiner did too. I mean, it was like fun for both of them. And I promise you guys, that person gets a little bit higher on the scoring system because the examiner's enjoying herself or himself, right?
Exactly. Like British Council will never say that. IDP would never say that. But that's what happens with human beings.
Exactly. You're talking to a person here. And I know that everything goes back to the descriptors for sure. But there are, examiners are smart, man. And there are ways to read into the descriptors that reflect their opinions about the answers.
Interesting.
It can't be quantified, right? Like our feelings can't be quantified. A while ago, someone asked how many idioms exactly should I use to get a 7, right? That's impossible to answer. It's not quantifiable. How the degree to which the examiner understands you or the degree to which the examiner can hear your accent, right? Different people, like my stepdad, for example, if there's a slight accent on anybody, he can't understand them, like at all. He gets so annoyed if a British person or like whatever is on in a movie because he's like, I have no idea what this person is saying. So like if he's giving you an IELTS score, it's going to be super low, right?
Oh, Jesus.
But like as teachers, like Lindsay and I, we could understand pretty much any English we could understand.
We've done it for years. So in the end, if it comes down to the choice of being student A, who builds a rapport with the examiner and knows what to do to kind of push the examiner's buttons in a good way, versus student B, who is going to actually answer a different question, go in a totally different direction, and kind of maybe even offend the examiner because the examiner's chosen that question, which one is going to be likely to push your score up higher? Let's be smart about what we decide to do here, because we're already struggling for the high score. Why not help ourselves out?
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about some part two strategies recently in the past couple of weeks about, what if you don't have an answer directly for that topic?
Right.
And again, like there's a strategy to deal with that, guys. Look just in the search bar on IELTS.allearsenglish.com, our website, just type in part two and it'll be a very recent
Speaking
episode.
Part two. Yes.
And it was Lindsay, right? Like your answer just sort of went off topic, but that strategy is just to be honest and direct right away and be like, I know this is what the question is asking. However, I need to talk about this because blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like created a bit of a bridge between the question and the question that I answered. And this one, to me, when I picture this student's answer, it's more like going in the opposite direction and not even acknowledging it, right? It's
I promise you guys that would frustrate the examiner. So yeah, guys, like Lindsay said, student A or student B, choose the one the examiner will most likely give a high score to.
Yeah, let's make it easy on ourselves here.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, let's end it on that. I like that answer. That's very good. And again, guys, if you don't know what we're talking about when we talk about the Facebook group, that is a private closed community just for the members of the Three Keys IELTS Success System. As soon as you join our course, you have a chance to introduce yourself and you can tell us your target score and you'll get a bunch of people responding to you and saying, hey, congratulations. Oh, I'm trying to go to Canada too, or I'm trying to go to the UK also. And you have an immediate community built in to your prep, which is super cool, guys. So, I mean, Jessica, that is awesome, right? The Facebook group, I love it.
It's fantastic. And it has become so active. I mean, I spend a lot of time in there now responding to students. And if I'm tagged in something, I obviously get a notification on my phone and I answer as soon as I see it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's seriously only like 2 days a week where I'm not constantly monitoring. And that's because I'm you know, you're riding bikes and swimming with James.
Goodness. Yeah, we are humans here.
But for 5 days a week, like those are my work days. And this is part of my job is to talk to students in the course and help you guys with all of your questions.
Yeah. And it's rare to be able to interact directly with the person who created the strategies and who created the course and who understands them best. You know, I think that in these larger courses, you might get to talk to a teacher, but they're probably not the person who created the strategies. They may not understand them as well. And they may just confuse you. Right. Exactly. So this is, you know, we're still, you know, a smallish community, but we're getting bigger. So get in now, guys, and get the target score and move on with your life. So allearsenglish.com/KEYS. Cool.
Awesome. And then I'll see you in the Facebook group.
Awesome. All right, Jessica, see you next time on the podcast.
All right. Sounds good. Bye, Lindsay. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.